us versus them. As we near the presidential elections, the vitriol on both sides keep amping up. And thanks to social media, Russia and Iran's influence with it, and even local influences, we're sent down rabbit holes of more and more extreme ideologies because we clicked on one video. And then we're constantly presented with stronger and stronger worded messages. And we can't stop watching. We can't put the phone down. And so we hear about those illegal aliens that have invaded our country, murderers and rapists that we'll round up and send back. Or we put the blame on the unborn who are an affront to women's freedom and liberties. And we slaughter them in the womb, perfectly and fully capable of feeling pain like you and I, and horrifically murdered. Throughout the history of humanity, we've always sought a scapegoat. That idea comes from the Hebrew scriptures. Once a year, the high priest would whisper sins into a goat of the people, offering sacrifices, and send the goat out into the desert for it to die, as a way of putting the sins of the community onto this goat, sending it away forever to die in the desert. And that idea of scapegoat continues. Christ was the scapegoat, if you will, for our sins, taking our sins upon him for our salvation. And we always seek to blame others for our problems. It's easier than to change myself. But so often we have grown up in a life, either on the receiving end or perpetuating this idea that they are not us and we are not them and we can never work together. And it creates racism and division, hatreds and animosities. We no longer see the other as our equal, but as less than human. And we hear it in the words from both sides, referring to the unborn children and to the undocumented. In the first reading today, God bestows upon Moses, the first and greatest prophet, if you will, and upon leaders in the camp, this gift of wisdom so as to lead the people and manage their concerns and problems. And other men who are not a part of the group, who are not in the camp, receive the same gift of wisdom from the Spirit. And Moses' people immediately respond, well, they weren't with us. How dare they? They don't have a right. They're not part of us. Moses expresses to them the very will of God. Would it be that everyone were prophets? Why does it have to be only us? We see this in the history of Catholicism, where if Father doesn't do it, we can't. We can't lead prayer. We can't learn prayer. We can't lead prayer in groups. We can't lead prayer at home. We can't lead courses of faith. We can't lead groups because Father has to do it. That's never been the image and the idea of our Christian faith. Would it be that everyone were prayer warriors and leaders among us? Would it be that every baptized Catholic knew the scriptures and could lead in prayer unashamedly, not needing me to do it? By virtue of your baptism, you have been anointed priests, not ministerial priests as myself, not able to offer the Mass, but priests by virtue of your baptism to lead prayer. The rosary, the chaplet of divine mercy, even the liturgy of the hours. All of you are called to be leaders of prayer in your home and here in the parish. Would it be that all of you could do such a thing? That's been the desire of God from the beginning. In the Middle Ages, when the church was going through a very difficult time and rampant corruption, God raised up various saints, some lay, mostly religious and priests, to renew the church, whether it was St. Francis of Assisi or St. Catherine of Siena, lay people, or religious priests, St. Dominic, St. Ignatius of Loyola later, St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross. God renewed the church through leaders within that were typically religious brothers and sisters and or priests. But the vision of the Second Vatican Council has always been that all 1.3 billion Catholics would renew the face of the earth and transform the church by virtue of their sacraments of baptism and confirmation. The vision being that every Catholic in the world would be a witness and a sign of the gospel in how we vote, how we live, how we treat people differently than ourselves. This idea of opposition robs everyone of the common good and of working together for that goal. I can speak to that here in our own parish. We've been receiving and will be receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars from secular and state-sponsored organizations giving us grant money. And there's no question about the fact that the ideas of some of these organizations are directly and completely opposed to our Catholic faith. No question. But when they see what we're doing, helping the immigrant, the undocumented, bringing in a credit union one day, God willing, whenever that happens, I've given up, but they're paying the parish once a month, and bringing in free therapy for those who are uninsured, and giving food to the unhoused, the homeless in our streets without any questions asked, they want to support that. They believe in it. We have something in common, and so we're working together to beautify this church, to preserve it, and continue to provide these services to the local community, undocumented, homeless, or otherwise. It doesn't matter. And in no way and under no circumstances have they at any point offering us $500,000 to renovate the exterior of the church, over $100,000 to redo the interior lights and weather stripping, new air conditioning units, etc. At no point do they say, now that you're receiving our money, you have to promote abortion and LGBTQ issues. At no point. We find what we have in common, and we work together toward the common good. If they're not against us, they're for us. And that's been my experience. And you've seen the fruits of that in our church that is helping preserve it for another 140 plus years. If they're not against us, they're for us. So why oppose them? Why focus on what makes us different when we can celebrate and work together on what makes us the same? And this idea that Christ is presenting the scriptures is extremely pertinent right now. Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we try to prevent them because they don't belong to us. Why? Why would you prevent them if they're doing good? Why not support them and encourage them? Why not recognize in them your brother and your sister? Why do we have to oppose them? Why do we have to kill them? Why do we have to expel them from our country? Why cannot we welcome them and celebrate the good they're doing and work with them to increase that good for all? At the end of the day, the scriptures remind us that we believe in a God who is for us and who calls us to be for others. The cross has two beams, the vertical reminding us of our relationship with God, and the horizontal reminding us of our relationship with one another. Everyone is our brother and our sister. No matter even if they are our enemies, or if they are unborn, or if they are undocumented, or if they're of a different religion, or race, or color. Too often our country has been marked by this hatred toward those who are different than ourselves, and it's been expressed in horrific ways, from slavery to abortion and beyond. But at the end of the day, if we hear Christ's word and recognize his call to love your neighbor, things can be so much different. The cross without the horizontal beam, reminding us of our connection with one another, is nothing but a stick. And oftentimes people use that stick, their perceived distorted relationship with God, to beat others over the head with, to correct and to abuse, or to correct in an abusive way, their confusion, their ignorance, or their error. But if we put the beams together, we recognize that our relationship with God directly affects and should impact how we treat one another. Again, whether they're undocumented or unborn or different, I can love you even if I don't agree with you. I can love you even if we are fundamentally opposed on some very important ideas. There's no reason why I still can't love you. Just because I disagree with you doesn't mean I hate you. Just because we don't agree doesn't mean we have to be disagreeable with one another. Christ in today's gospel reminds us that we have become his enemies because of our sin, and yet in response, he loves us. Can we do the same? If they are not against us, they are for us. So why don't we just work together?